Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
The Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We're going to see today that the demonic world is much more demonic than we think. It's much more vicious than we think. If Satan and his demonic forces had their way, they would have already destroyed the earth. And we know that we are going to win in the end.
Although demons are allowed to roam this earth and cause all types of grief and evil, remember this. Those demons are subject to the Lord God, and He limits and controls what they can do. While we need to be aware of demonic power, we do not need to be fearful, because God is all-powerful and victorious over all demonic forces. With more powerful truth from Revelation chapter 9, here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary Tucson.
The title of the message today is All Hell Breaks Loose. Because that's what happens here in this chapter. All hell breaks loose. I've been telling you over the course of our study through the book of Revelation, the characteristics of the tribulation period. The tribulation period is the 70th week of Daniel. It's a 7-year period. Jesus said it was worse than anything that would ever happen or worse than anything that was ever going to come. It is the cap of history. You come to the end of history, and on the cap of history is a time of judgment, a time of God's wrath. God's wrath has been building up. Some people say, where's God? There's horrible things happening on the earth. Where's God at? God's adding it up. One day God will bring judgment on this earth for what mankind has done. And you can escape judgment by calling on the name of Jesus. 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians tells us that we have not been appointed for the wrath which is to come. And I'm so glad for that. But this 7-year trial and tribulation period, which is broken up into the first 3.5 years and the second 3.5 years, with an event called the abomination of desolation in the middle, we haven't gotten to that yet, but we will. I've been telling you the characteristics of the tribulation period. For example, it's a time of war. It's a time of financial upheaval. It's a time of deception. The Antichrist presents himself as the Messiah, and the entire world receives the Antichrist as if he is the Messiah until it's revealed that he is the anti-Messiah, which is what Christ means. So it's a time of war. It's a time of financial upheaval. It's a time of deception. It's a time of death, the fourth seal told us. And a fourth of mankind's killed when that fourth seal is opened. It's a time of great revival, chapter 7. I wish I could go back and teach chapter 7 every other week. We do chapter 7, then we do 8, then we do 7, then we do 9, then we do 7, then we do 10, then we do 7, then we do 11, and go on and so forth. Because it's such a high point in the book of Revelation that it is revealed to us that the greatest revival that ever takes place on the face of the earth happens during the tribulation period. Now, I'm not going to cover all of the characteristics of the tribulation period. We'll run down that list before we're done with the book. We'll go back and we'll recap what all these characteristics are like. But the characteristic I'm giving you today out of chapter 9 is that the tribulation period is a time of unprecedented demonic activity. Let me say that again just in case you're writing it down. You can get it. One of the characteristics of the tribulation period is a time of unprecedented demonic activity. Now, demonic activity is never a good thing. I don't know how much we want to hear about it. I thought about that when I was driving to church before the first service today, thinking if there are any kind of people that are prone to fear going to church today, they may leave terrified. They might go, I didn't really want to be in this teaching. We're going to learn that there is a demon called Apollyon, the destroyer. We don't have many demons named in the Bible, but Apollyon is one of them. You might not want to know that there's a demon named Apollyon the Destroyer, right? Not Conan the Destroyer, Apollyon the Destroyer, who's a whole lot worse than Conan the Destroyer, by the way. But here's the thing. And when I was a kid, The Exorcist came out. What year did it come out? 73, 74, 72? I can't remember. I was 12, 13 years old. I went to the movie. I snuck in. I wasn't supposed to go. It was rated R. I went, bought a ticket to another movie, and then snuck in, and then when no one was looking, I snuck around and went in and sat down and watched it. And my friend Maury, he lived next door, I talked him into going with me 2 or 3 times, And finally, like the fourth or fifth time, he said, I don't want to go again. I don't like that movie. And so he went in and watched the movie that I snuck into, and I'd go over and watch The Exorcist. I don't know how many times I watched it. I think because I was interested in spiritual things. I was interested in demonic spiritual things and angelic, godly spiritual things, but I was interested in them. There was fear that struck me about the demonic forces that were out there, and to learn from the Bible that the demons are true. Just an overview of demonic activity on the earth. God created the angels. When you die, you don't become an angel. I'm sorry to bust your bubble. It would be a wonderful world, a wonderful life, if we did become angels when we die. And then whenever a bell rang, we would get our wings. Right? Sometimes you guys, you think you're way too clever. You think you're cleverer than you actually are. I understand. But God created the angelic host. And the angelic host has ranks. It has generals and lieutenants and majors and captains, but they're not called that. They're called princes and principalities, and they have different ranks. They have authorities under them. Both the angelic and the demonic have these different ranking angels. Some of them are more powerful than other angels. There's your foot soldiers, and there's your guys that are in charge. There are strong angels and strong demons, and there are just kind of regular, you know, more of the host kind of demons that are out there. Well, the Bible says that all the angels were created, and that one of them, one of the archangels, or three archangels, Gabriel, Michael, and Lucifer, Lucifer said to himself, I'm greater than God, and I'm going to exalt my throne above the throne of God. And he fell, and he was able to persuade one third of the angels to fall with him. One third of those angels became demons. That's where demons came from. Now, demons, although they are allowed to roam on the earth, Satan, I don't know if any other demons are, but Satan at least is allowed access into heaven. That's going to come to an end in the next chapter, by the way. We're almost at the time where God says to Satan, no more. You can't come up here and accuse these people anymore. Satan is called the accuser. He's called the adversary, and he has access into heaven. And angels roam the earth, and demonic forces roam the earth, which is pretty scary. But here's what you need to know. God limits what demonic forces can do. Remember when God talked to Lucifer about Job? And God brought up Job. And Satan said, well, you've put a hedge around him of protection. Take that hedge down and he'll curse you to your face. God has given us power. The disciples came back all excited that demons were subject to them. Demons were subject to Jesus, but demons were also subject to the disciples of Jesus. And so Jesus said, behold. And behold is always like, this is going to be really good, right? That's what the word behold means. Behold, I give you power to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing will by any means hurt you. What a great verse. That's a verse we all ought to have memorized. The Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We're going to see today that the demonic world is much more demonic than we think. It's much more vicious than we think. If Satan and his demonic forces had their way, they would have already destroyed the earth. And we know that we are going to win in the end because Jesus said, I give you the keys of the kingdom and the gates of hell will not prevail against you. The Bible also tells us in Romans chapter 8, if God is for us, who can be against us? How is some demon going to be against us? Apollyon or anybody else? How are they going to be against us when God is on our side? So you don't need to be fearful. Even though we talk about God unleashing bound demons, there are demons that are bound right now. They're bound because they're so fierce, God has locked them away in a bottomless pit. They're bound because they are so fierce that God locks them away by the Euphrates River. They are bound because they didn't keep the laws of God. God gave them boundaries. They crossed those boundaries, and so God chained them up. 1 Peter 3:19, 2 Peter 2:4, I think it's Jude 6, all make reference to demons that did not keep their proper place, and so they are held in chains. One of them says they didn't keep their proper place during the days of Noah, which brings us back to the whole daughters of men and the sons of God and the joining together and the Nephilim that result from that, which we don't have time to get into all of that today, but it's important to point out that God doesn't let the demonic host run rampant. So what happens in this chapter? It's as if God says to the world, you don't want me, you reject me, then I'm going to take my hand off the demonic forces. And I'm going to let you see what you're choosing. You know, it's been said that one of the greatest judgments that God can bring to people is to give themselves over to themselves. That God says, I'm going to judge you by not being involved in your life anymore. Isn't that just scary when we think about that? That God would say to me, Robert, you know what? Okay, fine. I'm just going to not be involved in your life. God would give me to myself and I would destroy myself. I need God's hand in my life. I also want to say as well that there's an angelic force that's two-thirds of the demonic force, which is one-third to two-thirds. And the Bible says that angels minister to saints. I wonder, you know, I think angels were created before man was created. Then God creates the earth and he creates mankind. And I wonder if God got the angels together and said, listen, I just created a new race. They're people. They're created in my image. And you guys are going to minister to them. I wonder if the angels are like, what? What did we do? We got to go out and minister to them? I very much believe in the idea of guardian angels. I don't know how it works. I don't know that you have a guardian angel that's assigned to you your whole life. Maybe. If that's the case, I'm sure my angel is saying today, how did I draw the short straw, by the way? that I got this guy. Some of you guys, you're keeping your guardian angel busy. Jesus said, the angels of the children constantly see the face of God. That children have guardian angels is a great thought, isn't it? In fact, if we took time to stand up in this place today and to give testimonies of when we think angelic forces intervened in our lives, I don't think we'd leave this place for a long time. I can tell you when I think that God intervened in my life by angelic forces, and it's good for us to know that in a world where there are demonic forces, that we have them outnumbered 2-1, so we don't have to be afraid. We don't need to be fearful. But here in this chapter, God basically backs away from the world and says, I'm going to unleash demonic forces. It's important for us to realize as we study these two trumpets, trumpet 5 and 6, which we're covering today, that God still keeps restrictions on them. He doesn't let them go completely. He brings them out and he gives them the ability or gives them freedom to do certain things, but he doesn't let them do it completely because God has to be in control of these because otherwise they would destroy everyone. They're wicked and evil and brutal and fierce. And God has to keep them in check because of that. So this characteristic of the tribulation period is revealed here that there's a demonic influence during it. Verse 1 of chapter 9. Then the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven to the earth. To him was given the key to the bottomless pit. The star falling from heaven isn't a star, as one pastor put it. It is an angel. Remember that in chapter 1, Jesus holds the seven stars of the seven churches in his hand. And then he writes the letters to the seven stars, which are the messengers of the churches. So a star is an angel. Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like a star from heaven. This very well could be Satan who was given the key. He saw a star fall from heaven. And to him, we know it's a person because it says him. To him was given the key to the bottomless pit. There's a pit somewhere here on the earth that angels are bound. I think it's a physical place. I think it's a place that when it's opened, you will actually be able to see it happen. If you've been a Christian for a while, you may remember that back in the 70s, there was this rumor going around that up in Russia, they were doing some deep drilling. And when they put something in to listen to sounds, they heard people screaming. That was all made up, by the way. It was never true. Although there were pastors back in the 70s who were teaching as if it were true. It wasn't. It was fake. But there is a pit somewhere where angels that don't keep their proper dominion are bound. And there's one angel that's so fierce that God has locked him away in that pit. That's the bottomless pit. So the star hits the bottomless pit. Verse 2, and he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. Now, let's just picture this in our minds in cinematic form if we can. You're watching a star fall from heaven and strike the ground. You're watching a column of smoke come up that's black and dark, and it begins to fill the sky. And then, if you're really good at putting a movie together, you would have something fly out of that smoke. Quickly, flash. That you would go, what was that? And then another one, and another one, and another one, until there was a host of locusts. Look at verse 3. Then out of the smoke, locusts came upon the earth. Now, there have been a lot of ideas as to exactly what these locusts are. Some have said that they're some kind of military equipment, that this is describing a new kind of warfare that's happening. Some of them have even used Apache helicopters because they have Stinger missiles in them, and these locusts have stingers, and so they make a suggestion for that. I don't think that's the case. Here's why. Because they don't kill men. They torment them. Apache helicopters don't torment men. They kill men. These torment like an insect, like a bug. These are locusts. There are locusts that we've never seen. Do you know that they're still finding types of bugs on the earth that they have never found before? There are types of that we don't even know. Who knows what's at the very bottom of the ocean? Who knows what's deep underground? And here comes a locust that is brutal. I typed in yesterday, type this into Google. You'll get a kick out of it. If you just want to get the heebie-jeebies, you haven't had them in a while, and you decide, I really want the heebie-jeebies, here's what you do. Type in creepiest bugs on earth, and then hit images. There are some creepy-looking bugs out there. There's the giant Spanish wasp. Just look it up. I'm not going to say anything else about it. Look it up. There's a wasp that's here in Tucson. It's a giant wasp. It's a tarantula wasp. Have you guys ever seen this? Have you guys ever seen it around your house? Any of you guys? It kills tarantulas. Goes on the hunt. And you might say, that's a good thing for a wasp to go and kill tarantulas. We had it happen not long ago at our house. We had some people coming over, and out in the front they go, there's a tarantula and a wasp out here fighting. And we went out, and that wasp killed that tarantula. And what they do is they sting it, and they drag it off. I even read one where the tarantula, after it's stung, will follow the wasp. It's like mind control from a wasp. I'd really like to find out whether or not that article was true. You can't believe everything you read on the internet, right? You guys know that, right? Right? But if that's true, that's wild. That it could sting a tarantula and the tarantula would follow it. It then plants its eggs in the tarantula and the tarantula becomes food for its offspring. There are some creepy things that are happening out there in the insect world. And I think that these locusts come flying out of this smoke. Now, I don't know how big these locusts are. Are they the size of a locust today, which some of them get to be 2 or 3 inches? I picture them in my mind. I have no reason to do this, but I do. I picture them in my mind as being the size of a chihuahua. Because a locust the size of a chihuahua would be scary, right? Now let's read a little bit more about these locusts. It says, and they were given, verse 3, then out of the smoke came locusts, they came upon the earth, and to them was given power as the scorpions of the earth. We're going to learn that they have stingers. So they're a locust that has a stinger, and they are given power like a locust, and they were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth nor the green things, because that's what locusts do. They go and attack. When you have a locust plague, they eat everything. But these ones are commanded not to. Another reason I think they're real, that they really are insects, locusts, because they are commanded not to eat the trees or the grass, but only those men who do not have the seal of God on their forehead. Somehow these locusts know who are Christians and who are not. The only way these locusts could know is that they are demon-possessed. When Legion, who was a group of demons that had possessed a man in a place called Gadarean, when Legion was cast out by Jesus, they went into a herd of swine. And the pigs, being so freaked out by being possessed, ran over an edge and threw themselves into the water. So you have demonically possessed locusts. And they were not given authority to kill them, but to torment them for 5 months. Their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. So I did some research on scorpion stings yesterday. I found that most scorpions are not deadly. Most scorpions won't kill you. It's a good thing. Except there's one place in the world where you find a tree bark scorpion, which is, can you guess? Tucson, Arizona. I'm like, why, God, why? Why can't it be somewhere in China or something? If you're old and feeble and you're stung by it, or if a child is stung by it, then it endangers them. If you're a healthy person, probably not. But the sting of a scorpion is very painful. I happen to have been stung by one. I stepped on it. It was the same color as my carpet, of all things. It was one of the little ones. Stepped on it, stung me in the toe, drag. It hurts to get stung by a scorpion. So the sting of these locusts is like the sting of a scorpion when it strikes a man. And in those days, men will seek death and not find it. They will desire to die, and death will flee from them. They'll want to die. They are so tormented by these scorpions. You can imagine getting struck by one and going through the pain, and then hearing another one, and seeing another one striking you, and feeling that men want to die. Now, suicide, most suicides, attempts, are unsuccessful. There's a reason for that, because some people, in trying to kill themselves, are crying out for help. They really don't want to kill themselves, but somehow they're trying to communicate to people around them, I'm in a dark, dark place, and I need help. And when someone tries to kill themselves, we ought to do everything we can do to provide them help, because you don't try to kill yourself unless you're in a dark place, right? We all would agree with that. But even people that really try to kill themselves, only a fraction of them are successful. Turns out, it's not so easy to kill yourself. Turns out a lot of people survive. But this is even worse. This is people, is this reading that if you jump off a 10-story building and you hit the ground, you don't die? Is that what this is reading like? I don't know. It sure seems that way. They desire to die, and death flees from them. It could make for some pretty scary movies. It would make the apocalypse zombie movies look tame by this. The shape of the locust was like a horse prepared for battle. Now, he gives a description of the locust, and when he does, this is one of the reasons that people think that these are helicopters or there's some other kind of military equipment, but each of these could still be in the insect realm. The shape of the locust was like a horse prepared for battle. On their heads were crowns of something like gold. Didn't mean they were wearing little golden crowns while they're flying around, but on their heads there's crowns of something like gold. Their faces were like the face of a man. Their hair was like the hair of a woman, and their teeth were like the teeth of a lion. And it's the size of a chihuahua, so watch out. Okay, that's my idea, the chihuahua size. And they had the breastplate like the breastplate of iron. So some have said, well, this is like iron. It's got to be military. No, the exoskeleton on some bugs is so strong that you can step on them and not kill them. You can stomp on them and they will survive. Their breastplate is like iron. The sounds of their wings is like the sounds of chariots with many horses running into battle. That's where people get the whoop, 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 whoop of a helicopter. But boy, when a big bug flies by, you know it, right? Sitting out on your porch at night and brrr, imagine something the size of a chihuahua. That's my last reference. It says they had tails like scorpions, and there were stings in their tails. The power was to hurt men for 5 months. And now we're told the demonic influence comes from one particular demon, angel. And they had a king over them, the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew was Abaddon, but in Greek, his name is Apollyon. Both of those names mean destroyer. He's the destroyer. He's been locked away, and God unlocks him and reveals him.
Practical Christian Living is a ministry of Calvary Chapel Tucson and is edited from Pastor Robert Furrow's weekly teachings. To hear current and past teachings, go to calvarytucson.com. If you'd like a CD copy of today's program, write to us at Practical Christian Living, 5170 South Julian Drive, Tucson, Arizona, 85706. Please include $3 to cover postage and materials. Practical Christian Living is made possible through the generosity of donations. Thanks to your support, hearts and lives are being changed. If you would like to support this ministry, send your donation to Practical Christian Living, 5170 South Julian Drive, Tucson, Arizona, 85706. With every donation of $25 or more, we'll send you your choice of Pastor Robert's series through 1 Timothy, Pass the Torch, available on CD, or A Fading Crown, a study through 1 Samuel, available on USB flash drive. Our address, once again, is Practical Christian Living, 5170 South Julian Drive, Tucson, Arizona, 85706. We thank you for supporting this ministry. May you come to know the incredible grace and peace that can only come from Jesus.